Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Then Gretzky ends 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches. Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, we're at the Superstore. Glad to have you on board. Another edition of Drive Time right here at ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name is Mike Miller. This show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Summer clearance sales event continues. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. How about certified pre-owned? Great lease deals available as well. We'll talk about them throughout the show. Tonight, all of our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. And speaking of guests, Judd Silverman will join us from West Des Moines, Iowa tonight, where the Solheim Cup will take place. That gets underway on Friday. Of course, that's a prelude to the 2021 Solheim Cup, the biggest event in women's golf. It'll be in Toledo, 2021. News out of there today that Suzanne Pedersen has withdrawn, of course, from the European team. You know, you had to wonder what kind of reception she was going to get. She was embroiled in that 2015 controversy in that dispute over the putt was given or not given against Allison Lee. It brought tears. It brought jeers. It brought a lot of reaction from all over the golf world on that situation in 2015. She is out, by the way, back injury, not going to play. Again, that gets underway on Friday. Coming up at 5:35 tonight, Matt Markey will join us like he does every Wednesday. He is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Just a couple of notes. The Hens tonight are in Charlotte. And for our Reeb Funeral Home Detroit Tiger report, we've kind of turned this into a Jamer Candelaria report every night. Big night for Jamer last night, 2-for-5, a double and a home run. As we predicted on this show not too long ago, Tiger's already talking about it. Brad Ausmus alluding to it. Nick Castellanos already taking fly balls in the outfield, maybe paving the way for one of the top Chicago Cub farmhands, Jamer Candelario, who is now with the Toledo Mudhens. This experiment could get underway as early as the expansion roster on September the 1st. So we'll be watching that situation as well. Came out today, really, and boy, I got to tell you, behind the wheel of a car, it's just a little bit hard to believe, but the report came out today on exactly what was in the system, Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods, unbelievable. I mean, what a cocktail of drugs he had. Number one, he had marijuana in his system, Dilaudid, Xanax, Ambien, and Vicodin. And they figured 5 total drugs in his system. I guess a little surprising for me that Justin Thomas on Monday went and had dinner with Tiger Woods. Number one, don't misconstrue me here. This is a guy that needs some help. He is seeking some help. I just kind of thought it was odd that Justin Thomas, who did say, listen, the reason that a lot of us young guys, when you talk Jordan Spieth, when you talk Justin Thomas, when you talk some of the Dustin Johnson, listen, they grew up watching Tiger Woods dominate. And I mean dominate the golf world. But Justin Thomas having dinner with Tiger on Monday. The report, of course, was released today by the Fort Lauderdale police. And believe me, five drugs in the system of Tiger Woods. And we'll, you know, keep you abreast of that whole situation. But talk about a life that has gone sideways. And everybody here at Drive Time is always wishing him the best of luck to get things straightened out. I honestly think, and Pat Lindsay said the same thing, the days of him being successful on the golf course, those days are over. Too many young studs out there now playing great. Jordan Spieth, a great example, and Matsuyama and all those guys. And the biggest thing I noticed, if you remember coming down the stretch, Bob May was one guy that didn't wither. I thought the most intriguing thing about Tiger Woods, besides his greatness, was guys basically just withering down the stretch when they would get in the back nine, especially of a major championship. It wasn't so much about Tiger playing great, which he did, but basically was the intimidation factor of guys thinking they couldn't win. Not the case. You know, there's 8-10 young players each weekend now. They think they can win on the PGA Tour. Fight on the 26th. Again, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, they announced today that they're going to go to 10-ounce gloves. Now, originally, they were going to be heavier than that. We'll probably have Bronco McCart on sometime next week to talk about the fight again. I'm still curious where folks are going to watch it here in the Toledo area. I know there's a couple of clubs, private clubs around town that might be getting the fight. We'll give you some updates on that as well. But Mayweather, Conor McGregor coming up a week from Saturday night. They say Mayweather is going to weigh in at about 150 pounds. McGregor is going to weigh in at about 160 pounds. As of right now, Conor McGregor is a 6-1 underdog in that fight. Most of the money, because the odds are going to McGregor, mainly because you can't win anything on Mayweather unless you would, you know, basically put down a very, very large amount to risk to win a little, but that's the last numbers that I saw out of Las Vegas. Tigers tonight in Texas playing out the string, basically. I'm waiting for September the 1st. You're wondering if Dowell Lugo from Erie, you're wondering about Candelario, some of the young studs, Bo Burrows, the young pitcher, of course, in Erie. Be a good chance to see some of these guys. And again, I talked about it last week, wild card. You go up and down the schedule tonight, Major League Baseball. Just consider, you answer the question why ownership did this, of the way some of the division races are going this year. A lot of them are routes. I mean, absolute routes. And if it wasn't for the wild card, a lot of these games here as we past the midway point in August would be meaningless. So hats off to the wild card. A lot of meaningful games tonight in the schedule in both the American and National League, because about 16 teams, still battling for a playoff spot. Without the wild card, like the old days, the race would be over. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time. It's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Here's one of my favorites, $168 a month, 2017 Dodge Challenger, all-wheel drive GT, 36-month lease, $168. Live report from West Des Moines, Iowa. Judd Silverman after this.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik, joining us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Judd Silverman from West Des Moines, Iowa. Hello, Judd, how are you?
Hello there, Mike, how are you?
Hey, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it, number one. The 15th edition of the Solheim Cup gets underway. The biggest event in women's golf gets underway Friday from West Des Moines, the Des Moines Golf and Country Club. I guess first things first that came to my mind was Inverness, of course, will host this in 2021. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I guess courses for horses, is there any comparison in the type of layout between Inverness and in Des Moines?
That's a good question. I'm not that familiar with the course here in Des Moines. It's a little hillier golf course than Inverness. But it'll be a great test for the women for both sides, Europe and the USA, for sure. The course is in great condition. Des Moines has done a great job with their sales. And really, there's people from all over the world here to watch the event. That's one of the most exciting things about the Solheim Cup, is really the international competition, the 12 best Americans against the 12 best Europeans. And we saw many Europeans out there today, from folks from Germany and Sweden and Ireland and France and Spain. It was and England. It was exciting to see all the Europeans there. So it'll be a great competition, very exciting that Toledo is going to be able to host this wonderful event in 4 years.
No, look forward to it. I thought your announcement out at Inverness with the media and the invited guest was a highlight. We were very proud to be part of the broadcast there as well. How about an injury update and, I guess, flu for Lexi Thompson, number one? I'm guessing Judd Silverman, that won't stop her from being in the starting lineup on Friday.
I don't know. It would, she'd have to be awfully sick for her not to play. Lexi's such a strong competitor, great young player. It would really be sad if she couldn't participate on the American squad. Obviously the Europeans lost Suzanne Pedersen today to a back injury. She's obviously one of the top players in the world, and that will not help their team, that's for sure. She was replaced by Katrina Matthew, who's sort of a wily old veteran who's played in several Solheim Cups. I guess if you got to, replace Suzanne Pedersen with anybody, at least they're replacing her with a very seasoned player. But Europe's got their work cut out for them. I'm sure the home crowd of Des Moines and all the folks, they've got spectators coming in from all 50 states, they told us today. So it'll be a pro-American crowd, but like I said, there's plenty of Europeans here. But it'll be tough for the Europeans, but they've got an unbelievable captain in Annika Sørenstam, one of the greatest competitors of all time, one of the greatest champions in women's golf of all time. So Annika will have her team ready to play, and it'll be very interesting to see how close they can keep it going into Sunday's singles matches.
Now, again, Judd Silverman joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Appreciate you coming on, Judd. I know you're out there. We're going to talk about the business side and what you were looking for. It's kind of funny you mentioned all the fans from all 50 states and from across the pond in Europe. One of the big sidebars in this was the Suzanne Pedersen situation back in 2015 on that, conceded or not conceded, but to Allison Lee. So I think for some folks anyway, she might have been in their sights for a little bit of some razzing. So we won't see any of that with her out of the lineup. Hey, tell me a little bit. You mentioned Annika Sørenstam, the captain of the European team. I know you, over the years, you've talked to and met and have a lot of respect for Julie Engster as well.
Oh, for sure. Julie's a Hall of Fame player. She's an amazing athlete. Here she is still playing on the LPGA Tour. I think she's probably about 57 years old now, and just still is very competitive. But, she's a role model for these younger players and somebody they really look up to, and she was nice enough to accept the invitation to captain the team again after doing it in 2015 in Germany, where the Americans came from behind, because of that controversy with Suzanne Pedersen and Allison Lee. But it was very nice of Julie to do it again. And, she loves it. She loves her team. She loves playing for her country. And she'll definitely have the American girls ready. And like I said, it's going to be exciting. It'll be just a wonderful event for Northwest Ohio to host in 2021, because there'll be so many people coming to town to watch the event, plus the exposure it brings on NBC television Saturday and Sunday, and the Golf Channel on Thursday and Friday. You know, it's a great piece of convention business, because it'll be great for area hotels and restaurants and that type of thing. And from an exposure standpoint, it'll really, you know, send positive vibes about our community all over the world.
Yeah, no question about it. I think we've saw some of the residue in past years from the Marathon Classic, as well as Judd Silverman joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Hey, when you go out there like today, is there a special itinerary on the business side and the folks that are hosting for the next U.S. host city, of course, chaired by yourself? Is there a, meetings that have been preset for particular people, Judd, that you're going to see?
Actually, yes, Mike. Chris Garrett, the tournament director of the Solheim Cup, who works for the LPGA, he gave us a tour today of a large group of people from Inverness and Toledo, as well as people from Glen Eagle, Scotland, because they're going to host the Solheim Cup in 2019, 2 years before we do, because obviously it goes back and forth between Europe and the U.S. So we got a wonderful behind-the-scenes tour today of every facet of the event, from hospitality to the media center to the first tee experience, to the merchandise, everything, but to the volunteer experience. But the first tee experience is going to be incredible, because now not only do they have big grandstands around the first tee, but they've sold hospitality. So now, we'll be selling to companies the opportunity to sort of have a skybox right on the first tee. And it'll be exciting. You know, when these groups tee off, the crowd will be going crazy. And they said that, the first group goes off at 8 o'clock, Central Time, so 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Friday. And they'll open the gates at 5:30 in the morning, and they have about 2,000 seats around the first tee. And literally, people will get there in the middle of the night to get in line, and then when those gates open, they are going to sprint to the first tee to get those seats. So it'll be crazy around that first tee, and it'll be a wonderful kickoff for the event each day. So
yeah, no,
we got a great. We got a great look at everything today, Mike, and, you know, we've got some of our own ideas and that type of thing, but, you know, we'll be working closely with the LPGA to put the marketing plan together after this event in Des Moines, and I would imagine that we'd start selling it sometime in 2018, which will allow companies, you know, 3-4 years to pay off whatever package, they want to purchase.
Now, good stuff, Judd Silverman. Before I let you go, hey, you know, I had the Golf Channel on today, and of course the coverage from Des Moines and the Solheim Cup, and they started talking about Des Moines and obviously Toledo with its history, and you're maybe one of the best historians we have of golf in Toledo. Does it shock you at all that Des Moines in the Midwest and the heart of the country, ticket sales like they've seen, and I'm sure that what we're going to see in Toledo, I mean, listen, I get it, but at the top of my list when you're talking about sports towns, Des Moines usually isn't in my top 20. But for this particular event, it is. Weigh in on that, the Heartland and golf.
Well, the thing that the reason they won the bid for this year is because they hosted the 1999 U.S. Senior Open, and they knocked it out of the park. Their numbers in corporate hospitality sales and ticket sales were really strong. And that one event won them the Solheim Cup bid for 2017. Could they have won going up against Toledo and Inverness in 2021 and Columbus, Ohio and Oklahoma City and San Antonio and Fairfield, Connecticut and Lancaster, Pennsylvania? Those are the towns we beat out for 2021. I don't know. It would be very interesting because, you know, Toledo hosted two U.S. Senior Opens in 2003 and 2011, plus, you know, the U.S. Opens and the PGA Championships that Toledo and Inverness have hosted. You know, I would say that we'd come out on top on that one, but, you know, I give a lot of credit to Des Moines. They did a great job in 1999 with their Senior Open, and they have done a marvelous job with the Solheim Cup this year and have really set the bar high for us. But I'm super excited, and I know our community will knock it out of the park in 2021. This is a different kind of event, Mike, that I think everybody can get behind. It's America versus Europe, the best 12 American women versus the best 12 European women, and it's really rah-rah. It's putting on your red, white, and blue, or if you're a European fan, putting on your European colors and coming out and cheering your team on. It's just a totally different atmosphere that I think everybody will really, really enjoy.
Judd, you know how I think. I'm sitting there envisioning the United States and envisioning Europe a couple of years down the road here, 2021. You start thinking who's going to be on that team, and I started thinking young stars, and maybe you can answer this or not, but somebody like a Brooke Henderson that plays out of Canada, not eligible for the event?
Not eligible for the event, unfortunately, because, yeah, it is Europe versus the United States. So, unfortunately, a player like that and some of the great South Korean players will not be eligible. But, you know, there are so many wonderful European players. Many of these European players come and play college golf in the States. We had two of them play in the Marathon Classic this year. That wouldn't surprise me in the least if they're on the European team 4 years from now. One of them was Linnea Strom from Arizona State. She made the cut this year. And, heck, she's only going to be a junior at Arizona State next year. She's from Sweden. And then the other one was Leona Maguire from Ireland, the top-ranked women's amateur in the world for the last 2 years. So these are the kind of players from Europe that are coming over playing college golf in the States and then turning pro and be, you know, being successful on the LPGA Tour and earning their way onto the European team. So, you know, America's got to really keep stepping up their game. And, you know, there's a lot of great young Americans as well. When you look at Lexi Thompson, for example, who's just 22 years old. I mean, in 2021, she'll be in her prime when she's 26 years old in 4 years. So, it'll be great, Mike. You know, there's so much talent in junior golf around the world these days that I certainly don't worry about the lack of talent come 2021 when we host the Solheim Cup.
Well, I wasn't worried about it, just my inquisitive mind asking questions, Judd. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on. As always, appreciate it. Obviously, we're going to be talking again, and you know how we feel about golf here in Drive Time. Anything we can do to help, let us know, and we'll look for a report when you get back. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Mike. And everybody can check out that Solheim Cup Friday on the Golf Channel and then Saturday and Sunday on NBC. So you can see what I'm talking about and to get excited for Northwest Ohio and Toledo to host the event in 2021 at Inverness.
Judd Silverman, Vito's Pizza phone line, ingredients you can trust. Thanks, Judd.
Thanks, Mike.
Judd Silverman in Des Moines. Golf Channel, of course, on Friday, NBC on Saturday and Sunday. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time, TAS Electronics update right around the corner. Little weather, little sports, traffic is always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. My name is Mike Miller, the show driven by the Low Payment King. Back with Matt Markey after this.
It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Judd Silverman joined us from Des Moines, Iowa. Solheim Cup getting underway, and of course, Toledo is going to host that event in 2021. Quick reminder, everybody, the 2017 Andrew Gulch Memorial Golf Tournament will be held this Saturday. That's at Bedford Hills. It is a hockey-themed benefit to benefit muscular dystrophy. By the way, walleye players, storm players, gold diggers, go play with some of those guys. For more info, go to infogulchmemorial.com. Again, the 2017 Andrew Gulch Memorial Golf Tournament, hockey-themed golf tournament, by the way. Joining us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, his appearance is always brought to you by the folks at Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Fishing is their passion. Expert advice is always free. Visit Netcraft, Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need to fish for bass, walleye, anything else that swims. And Mr. Markey, hello. And I guess if they're swimming and you're catching now, after reading your fishing report, they're a little bit deeper.
They are. That's usually what happens this time of year. The water warms and the fish will find their comfort zone. And this time of year for walleye, that's a little deeper, especially the bigger the fish, the older the fish, the more that temperature preference is a necessity. Kind of the same way it is with people. You know, you have more of a sensitivity to, you know, the extremes on the temperature scale. So the bigger fish for certain, but a lot of the walleye and other fish that prefer a little bit cooler water are looking for deeper water right now.
Well, I guess no surprise, your fishing report, of course, Lake Erie at the top. You're talking about walleye fishing, but I did get down to the Maumee River and some of the other areas around here, and you talked about catfish a couple of times, the Sandusky River and the Maumee River. I would imagine there's a ton of tremendous recipes out there. Started thinking about that a little bit, said, I got to go get me a big cat some night, get on the Internet, fillet that thing up and see how you cook them.
Yeah, it's a good idea if you're putting it in the skillet to take one of the moderate-sized ones. The older ones tend to be maybe a little fishier. The best eating fish are normally the ones that are in the kind of the moderate size category, and that's pretty much the rule for walleye and bass and a number of other species. So there's a ton of catfish recipes, a lot of them with a real kind of southern, you know, spicy flavor to them, but a lot of ways to use that. And I've seen some pretty nice coolers of catfish come out of the Maumee recently from Orleans Park and from the Rossford Marina area, and also from up at Weir's Rapids, where a couple anglers, maybe 3 hours in the evening, and they've got a dozen or so, you know, nice 2, 3, 4 pounders. And then anything bigger than that, they probably let them go, because those ones in that moderate size category usually make the best eating.
Again, talking to Matt Markey, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Hey, your other story, I think I told you this before. I had a chance to meet Russell Lamp, and we're talking about wasp, and we're talking about yellow jackets and insects, and, of course, the big nest that they come in, and his painstaking work to preserve those, put them in dry ice, send them to laboratories, of course, where, again, vaccines are made for people that are affected, you know, adversely by insect bites, and especially wasps and bees.
Yeah, it is. It's an extremely interesting, you know, scientific adventure that takes say he pulls a nest out of a tree tonight somewhere in Lambertville or, here in Bedford Township or Sylvania. He'll pull it out of the tree. He'll immediately get it cooled down, freeze the contents, and then he'll have to go through and painstakingly sort out, you know, through the wasps that are in there. And then those need to be packed in dryers, because as soon as that, you know, wasp starts to thaw, then the venom will deteriorate and it won't be as valuable as a potential element in the vaccine. And then once they're in the laboratory, further cleaning is done, once again, all under, cold temperatures to preserve everything. And then those tiny little venom sacs that are not much bigger than a speck of pepper, those are put into a centrifuge, and they're mixed there with some other preservatives and other ingredients that kind of give it stability. And then if someone has that severe allergy to stings, and they estimate it's about 3% of the population can actually go into anaphylactic shock after a sting, stop breathing, and it's life-threatening, something that needs to be addressed right away. And, you know, they developed this vaccine, and they figured out by using a tiny dose to start and then incrementally increasing that dose over the weeks and the months ahead,
they can build up a resistance to that allergic reaction in these individuals and really save lives. And that's something that kind of hit home with me, Mike, because out of my big family, my mother and then my older brother, Patrick, the movie producer, those two have that reaction and had to carry the EpiPen with them at all times. And I felt kind of bad. My mom was a gardener and loved her flower bed and working in her garden at all, but she had to have that EpiPen close by because that, you know, one sting from a wasp, a hornet, a bee, a yellow jacket, one sting can, you know, be life-threatening for those folks. So it's nice that we got somebody local who's really involved in that vaccine process and, you know, ultimately helping save some lives.
And I'll tell you something else, and again, Matt Markey joins us here in Drive Time. I met Russell Lamp because I had a nest in our yard. Actually, it was about the size of two basketballs. It was almost perfectly round, and of course everybody was petrified. We have a pool back there. I'm worried about the dogs and, you know, a kid's getting stung and this and that. And I think I told you this is what a good man Russell Lamp was. The particular type of wasp that was in that nest was not aggressive and very seldom flew below the altitude of that particular nest. Well, of course, I had one guy come out and looked at it, and he goes, yeah, I can get up there. I can take that down, get rid of it for you for $500 or something. I said, as always, like in medicine, I'm going to get a second opinion here. And Russell came out, and he said, you leave that one alone, and nobody's going to bother you from that nest. It's going to drop off this year, and you know what? Next year, they're not going to make a nest in the same spot. You'll be done with it. He was exactly right. So there's a number of people out there, I think, that really are in the know how to handle particular species or types of wasps and bees, which we're going to have a big run on them this year, as opposed to guys that just might be novice and have the guts to get up there and get it, then charge you for it.
Right, and people need to understand that there's a lot of sprays and insecticides out there. That's not always the best solution, and certainly that's not the first move you want to make. You don't want to kill everything and then ask questions. It's better to check with a real expert, you know, someone like Russell, who's so familiar with all these different species of, you know, flying things that sting, and they can tell you whether or not it's an aggressive one, whether, you know, the location means, you know, it's something you need to be careful about, and, you know, you'll be better informed. And then maybe it's a case where it's something that he can use, you know, he'll come in and he gasses them to kind of sedate them, and then he takes the nest down and again puts it in a sealed container and freezes it. But it might be something like in your case, it's not threatening. Let them go about their business. You know, they do a lot of pollinating. There's also some of these different wasps and bees and hornets that will prey on some of the more annoying insects like mosquitoes and flies. And so, you know, if you don't have to kill them, you know, don't kill them. Let them either, you know, live out their cycle or whatever, or as in the case with what Russell's doing now, let them serve a very positive purpose as they develop that vaccine. But I'm not surprised by that report at all, Mike, because Russell's a great guy. He certainly knows, you know, knows the profession. He knows the field. You know, he's been stung a few hundred times, so he's a little bit peculiar, but I like to kid him about that. But he's more bold than I am, climbing up that ladder and going right up to that. And I've seen him, you know, go up after nests that are, again, the size of a basketball, the size of a medicine ball, and he knows what he's doing. So as in every other case that we've talked about, Mike, I defer to the experts, and he's the best one around when it comes to these things.
No doubt about it. I met him. He's a character. There's no doubt about it. Hey, your other story on grandparents, which I'm getting a lesson in, by the way, did a little grandparenting and babysitting today. There's going to come a day that I might get a rod or a reel or a golf club or a baseball bat or something in little Bodie's hands and try to show him the way a little bit and get him interested in something. But really, Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor, it's astounding to me how many people, just, I guess it's the lay of the land and how things are, that really are working 40, 50, you know, 60 hours a week and getting there at 8 o'clock and not leaving till 9. And if they have, you know, young kids at home, boy, you're exactly right. You nailed it 100%. Grandparents really in play now, which might be a good thing to pass on some knowledge.
It is a good thing, and I think that, you know, grandparents have maybe historically been an underutilized resource. And I found my conversations with my grandfather, my mom's dad, you know, every one of them was educational and something that I can look back on, you know, decades and decades later and really see the value in his very subtle wisdom on things and how to do things and how not to do things. And I think, you know, grandparents are an absolute treasure. They're golden, and their role has increased significantly in the last generation or so with so many homes where you've either got both parents at work and the demands of work, or you've got, you know, single parent households, whatever the situation may be. The grandparents are there to step in, and I had a pretty big response to that column from grandparents who said, you know, I'm so glad that I can do this, and it's such an important thing for me as well as it is for their grandchild. So there's a dual benefit there, Mike, and I'm sure you'll experience that too, that it's, you know, and Hacks told me that as well. He's got a young grandson that, you know, the enjoyment is twofold. The grandchild benefits, but certainly the grandparent does as well. So I'm glad that more people are utilizing that because, as I said, the grandparents and their experience and their wisdom and their knowledge are just a real treasure.
No, there's no question about it. People used to tell me that, hey, wait till you have grandkids, and I wouldn't poo-poo it. I understand that that's special. But once you get into that mode, there's no question about it. It's always great when my daughter's got a meeting or they're going to work or something, and, you know, there's going to be a day besides 9 months that we're going to be able to share some moments doing some other things as well. I can't wait. Hey, what are you working on coming up this week? And, boy, the weather's been absolutely phenomenal. I'm sure there's people out on the lake. You always got something going. You never fail to surprise me when I pick up the paper on Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. What you got going? What's coming up this week?
Well, on Friday, I've got a fishing report plus an extended look at Lake Erie and the walleye fishing because it gets kind of intensifies here as we get to the end of summer and into fall. So I tapped into Bob Barnhart over at Netcraft, who's an ace fisherman besides being the owner over there, and got some expertise from him and from Dave Spangler, a charter captain, on just some tips that'll help people out on the lake. And then early in the week, next week, I'll have a piece that'll look at, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the eclipse. How does that affect wildlife and animals in general? And I have read that other places around the world, in a total eclipse, it throws off the wildlife clock. So birds will be singing furiously, and then the sky goes dark, and it's silent. And then I have a cousin who's a dairy farmer out in California, and during an eclipse out there at one point, the cows out in the pasture saw it go dark and turn and just start walking toward the barn. And, you know, I'm going to look at, you know, birds and fish and deer and so on and just see how they react. Now, we won't have a total eclipse here, but it'll be in the 85% range. But just to see if, you know, so much of wildlife, you know, that nature's their clock. They don't wear watches or carry cell phones. So just to see how they react to the eclipse and that change and might be interesting. Might not be a whole lot to it, but I'm going to take a run at that the first of the week.
No, you'll find something, and it will be interesting. Thanks, Matt. We'll talk next week. Appreciate you coming on as always, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. This is Drive Time. Back to close it out after this.